few services, we've been trying to discover what it means whenever our Lord told his mother in the temple at 12 years of age that he must be about his father's business. And Joseph and Mary found him there at the age of 12 after they had traveled a day's journey, after the Passover was over that they had just celebrated, and found out that Jesus was not with them. You might remember, and I know most all of you do, that they found him not with them. They looked for him, couldn't find him, and began to travel back the same way that they came back to Jerusalem, another day's journey, looking for our Lord. And then they searched for him in the city of Jerusalem for a day, because the Bible tells us in verse number 46 that after 3 days, they finally found him, and they found him in the temple. He's sitting in the middle of all the doctors, the great Jewish minds of that day who had gathered for the Passover in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that he's hearing them, listening to them, and also he's asking them questions. And they're all amazed. Everybody who heard him was astonished. The Bible says in verse 47, and at his understanding, and the answers that he gave, our Lord, ladies and gentlemen, was revealing to them divine truth. Light was now shining in the temple. That is, the one who is the temple of God showed up in the temple of God. And ladies and gentlemen, he is Lord of the Sabbath, and he's also the one who established the temple. He showed up in his own house, and he beginning to reveal who he is. And whenever Joseph and Mary came and found him in the temple, they were amazed as well at what they saw and what was happening. And of course, Mary was wondering why and asking why he had dealt with them this way. And they were sorrowing. That is, she said, "Your father and I are sorrowing." And with the play on words, Jesus said to her, "You must have known, you should have known that I must be about my father's business." And that is, Joseph was looking for him, but the father knew exactly where he was at. And he was doing the father's business. And we've been trying to discover exactly what it is that that means. When Jesus said that I must be about my Father's business, he was revealing his priority, we discovered then. And that is that he was revealing that that the most important thing in his life is not the will of his mother, but the will of his Father. The will of God is the most important thing in his life, and he's not going to let anyone determine the direction that he's going to go in except for the Father. We learned an important lesson about not letting anybody determine the will of God for your life. That is, don't let the influence of others steal you away from what the will of God is for your life. And others may go in a certain direction, but you stay right in the center of the will of God. If you know you're in the center of the will of God, you better stay there unless God tells you otherwise, no matter what anyone else says. This is the priority of Christ, the will of the Father. We also learn something about the person of Christ. When Jesus said that I must be about my Father's business, he's revealing that that, ladies and gentlemen, he's the Son of God. A central truth of the Bible and of the New Testament is the fact that Jesus is God. He's the second person, the triune Godhead, ladies and gentlemen. He is God, the Son of God. And you're revealing that in this passage of Scripture. At the age of 12, our Lord knows who he is. He knows that he is the Son of God. So we learn about the priority of Christ. We learn something about the person of Christ. But what we've been discovering in the past few services is what we've been learning about the purpose of Christ. And that is a reason why that Jesus is here is to do the Father's business. And that is, he's on a divine mission. And that mission has been given to him by the Father. That is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, laid out the divine plan from eternity past. And God the Son, our Lord Jesus, is here carrying out the divine will. That is, the will of the Father. That's his business. That's why he's here. That is, he's come to do the Father's business. We've been trying to discover what that would be. And that is, what is the Father's business? And we've discovered this so far, just by way of reminder to you. And that is, the Father's business is the business of revelation. And that is that our Lord Jesus has come to reveal God to us, reveal sin to us. He's come to open our eyes. Hey, that's what's going on in the temple that day. What is happening that day is divine revelation. The reason why that the doctors and the crowd that is gathered in the temple, the reason why they're amazed and astonished at what our Lord is saying and at 12 years of age, the reason why is because he's doing the Father's business, the business of revelation. He's revealing divine truth. He's taking the Old Testament scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, and he is shedding the light of truth on those scriptures so that they can be understood in light of what God revealed in the Old Testament and what God is revealing now in the New Testament. And he has come for the purpose of revelation. You and I would never figure God out. That is, we would be like the Jews, the Jewish leaders of the first century. If we depended on our own reason, we would mess God up. We would have a God that's not the true and living God, that's not the God of the Bible. We are absolutely dependent on divine revelation for our awareness and knowledge of who God is, who we are, what our problem is, and how to be redeemed. So he came for the business of revelation. We discovered he came for the business of restoration. And that is that everything is messed up and broken because of sin. It doesn't take me very long to know that. That is, all I have to do is look in the mirror at myself and I know that I'm broken. And listen to me now, you are too. And Jesus came to restore that which is broken. He demonstrated that by his miracles, ladies and gentlemen, and he's continuing to demonstrate that in the salvation of the lost. And one of these days, he's going to restore the entire world, that is the earth that we live on, a new heavens and a new earth. He's came for the purpose of restoration. That is, the Father's business is the business of revelation. It is the business of restoration, and we discovered it's the business of redemption. That is, that Jesus came and his family to observe the Passover. That is, remembering the redemption out of Egyptian bondage when God delivered the Israelites in the Old Testament. And I'm going to say to you that the lamb that was slain, ladies and gentlemen, that saved the firstborn is right as among them. Jesus is the Passover lamb. He is the great redeemer. He's the one who's going to pay the price of redemption so that those of us who are living in slavery could be redeemed. See, we're living in darkness and we need revelation. We are broken and we need restoration. Listen to me now. We are enslaved and we need redemption, and that's why he came. That's the Father's business. We discovered a fourth thing that Jesus came to do. That is, the Father's business is the business of reconciliation. And that is that we are separated from God. We discovered, ladies and gentlemen, this past Wednesday night that we are separated from God because of sin began in the Garden of Eden, and we need to be reconciled to God in a relationship with him. We're lost and separated from God and need to be reconciled to him, and Jesus is the one who came to reconcile us to the Father. That which is lost can now be found, whether it be the lost sheep in Luke 15 that was found by the shepherd and brought back to the fold, whether it be the lost coin that was found by the woman who lit a candle and searched her house, or whether it be the lost son who went to the far country away from his father. That which is lost can now be found, reconciled, ladies and gentlemen, reconciled to its owner, and so can sinners, that is you and I. That's the Father's business. And Jesus came to do the Father's business. It's the business of reconciliation. I hope you were in the service this morning, and I think all of you were. And that is, he came to do the business of regeneration. And as we discover that Jesus came, ladies and gentlemen, he came to give life to those who were dead in sin. He came to give us divine life. That is eternal life. We were dead in sin and we need eternal life. And that's why Jesus came. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he paid the price, so that sinners who are dead in sin, dead towards God, so that we could have eternal life. Listen, those who are in darkness need revelation, and he came to bring that revelation. Those who are broken need restoration, and he came to restore us. Those who are living in slavery need to be redeemed, and he came to redeem us. Those who are lost and separated from God need to be reconciled, and he came to reconcile us. Listen to me now. Those who are dead in sin need to be regenerated. We need eternal life, and that's why he came. He came that he might give us life and give it to us more abundantly. I'm trying to get you to see the Father's business. And that is, Jesus is revealing to us what his purpose is. He came to do the Father's business. Let me just mention to you one more. And that is, the Father's business is not only the business of revelation and restoration and redemption and reconciliation and regeneration, but it's also the business of resurrection. The business of resurrection. Jesus came, listen to me now, he came to do the will of the Father, the business of the Father, and that includes raising the dead. He sure did. Now listen, our Lord explained that to us. And that is, he explained to us that that's the will of the Father. That is the will of the Father, and that's what he came to do, the will of the Father, which includes the resurrection of the dead. Now I want you to see the explanation of our Lord in John chapter number 5 for just a moment, and then we'll look at some of the examples of our Lord, including the ones right here in the book of Luke. In John chapter number 5, if you'll flip over there for just a moment, we'll see our Lord's explanation about this purpose of the Father, that is the resurrection of the dead. In John chapter number 5 and verse number 19, we'll begin right there. The Bible says, then Answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. That is, the Son only does what the Father purposes for him to do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Whatever the Father does is what the Son is going to do. He came to do the business of the Father. Whatever the Father's business is, that's the Son's business. That's what he's saying here. And here's what he said in verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Everything that the Father's doing, the Son is doing. That is, the Bible says, as the Father, in verse number 21, here's an example. For as the Father, that is, he's going to do great things, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Just like the Father raises the dead, then the Son also raises the dead. The Bible says in verse 22, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. You can't honor. Listen, if you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. He's doing the works of the Father. Listen to this in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Regeneration, but that's not all. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 25, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father, you ready, verse 26? As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And that is the purpose of the Father, the work of the Father, the business of the Father is to raise those that are dead. And ladies and gentlemen, here's the Son who also is doing the same business. That is, he's doing the business of the Father. That is, he's doing the will of the Father. What the Bible says in verse number 27, in verse number 28, it says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, they have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Jesus is going to raise the dead. That's the business of the Father. Listen to John chapter number 6 in verse number 38, where our Lord explains this more. Here's what he said. John 6, 38, for I came down from heaven, listen to this, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. I'm here not on my own agenda, but on the divine agenda, to carry out the will of God, to do the will of the Father. We might call that the Father's business. He came to do the will of the Father. What is the Father's will? Well, here it is. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Did you see that? What is the will of the Father? Jesus came to do the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? Ladies and gentlemen, the will of the Father is to save everyone that he draws to Christ, but also that Jesus would raise them up at the last day. Verse 40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life. And I will, Jesus said, I will raise him up at the last day. Why is Jesus going to raise him up at the last day? Because this is the will of him, Jesus said, that sent me. This is his will. This is his purpose. This is the reason why that he sent me, is so that I might raise those that are dead. Not only to regenerate, to give eternal life to those of us who are dead in sin, but also to raise our bodies from the dead as well. Both of those things are implied or in this verse. That is the quickening or the making alive of the soul, but also, ladies and gentlemen, the quickening or the making alive of the body. That is, in verse number 44, the Bible says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up. The ones that the Father draws to the Son, I'll raise him up at the last day. I'm trying to help you to see the explanation of our Lord. He's explaining to us what the will of the Father is, what the Father's business is, ladies and gentlemen, clearly stated, is that he would redeem, save those who are lost, give them everlasting life. And ladies and gentlemen, that everlasting life includes the resurrection from the dead. That's his business. That's what he came to do. When the Bible says here, when Jesus said at 12 years old that I came to do my Father's business, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things he has in mind is resurrection. He has come to raise those who are dead. Now listen, we have examples of that right in the Gospel of Luke. That is, in the Gospel of Luke, we have two examples of Jesus actually doing what he explained that he would do. So let's go back now to the Gospel of Luke, and we'll look at chapter number 7. In Luke chapter number 7, you'll see an example of this, ladies and gentlemen. And what an example it is. Jesus, his purpose, that is, his business, is to raise the dead. In John chapter number 7, beginning of verse number 11, we see the first example. Well, the Bible says it came to pass that day after that he went into the city called Nain. Our Lord is traveling, ladies and gentlemen. And he's traveling with a group of people, and the Bible tells us that he came to the little town of Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when they came nigh or near to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, and this dead man is the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. You remember this story, don't you? And that is, a man has died, his mother's a widow, that is, her husband is dead, and now her only son has died. And as a result, in this society, this is a woman who's in real trouble. And that is, in a society like this, she's a woman who's going to be in a desperate situation as a result of not having a husband and not having a son. People of the city are there to support her and lend support to her. But I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, her son was still dead. They're carrying him out to the place of burial. And the Bible says when the Lord saw her, that he had compassion on her. He sure did. And he said unto her, weep not. Now listen, that's a hard thing to say to somebody who's just lost their son. That is, a widow whose husband is dead and now her son is gone, and somebody walks up and says, stop crying. What are you crying for? Stop crying. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a bold statement. It's not only a bold statement, ladies and gentlemen, but it is a statement that reveals our Lord's purpose. And his purpose is already known. That is, what is about to happen, ladies and gentlemen, was designed by our Lord to happen. Our Lord knew that he's going to raise this son from the dead. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he came and touched the bier in verse number 14 that they were carrying him on. And the Bible says those who bear him stood still. And the reason why is because to touch that would be to make yourself unclean. But I tell you, it's impossible to make unclean the one who's absolutely clean. He came and he touched it. And they stopped. Maybe they were shocked. They stood still. And Jesus, here's what he said. He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Remember what he said in John chapter number 5? I'm going to say to the dead, I'm going to speak to the dead. I'm just going to speak to the dead, and they will rise from the dead. The dead will hear my voice, and they'll come out of the grave. Jesus said in John 5, and this is the will of the Father which has sent me, I'll raise him up at the last day. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus has come for the purpose of resurrection, and he's demonstrating that right here in this passage. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And the Bible says in verse 15 that he that was dead sat up, and he began to speak. The Bible says he delivered him to his mother. What a moment it must have been for that crowd that was on their way to the graveyard with this dead son. If you use your imagination, it could probably go wild right about now. And you might just imagine those who are running the other way when he sat up and began to speak. And we don't know what he said. Obviously, the Bible doesn't reveal that to us. You can use your imagination there as well. And what would he have said when he sat up? I have no idea. I would have asked for something to eat or maybe something to drink. I don't know. But nevertheless, he sat up, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe he looked around. He said, what are you all doing? What's everybody doing? What's this all about? I don't know what he said, but he sat up and then he spoke up and then apparently got up and came back to his mother. Raised from the dead. Verse 16 tells us there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying, "This is that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people." Boy, he did, didn't he? That is, God just showed up. The Lord of life just walked into the scene of death, and death had to flee. That is the one. Remember now, remember who Jesus is. Remember John, in John chapter number 1, in him was life. The life was the light of men. That is, he is the source of all life. It's the Word of God that spoke in Genesis 1, ladies and gentlemen, and everything, life began to exist just by the divine Word that spoke. And that same Word that spoke creation into existence is the same one who became flesh and dwelt among us, according to John chapter 1 and verse number 14. And the divine Word who became flesh and dwelt among us walked onto this scene, and all he has to do is speak, and there's life out of death. You know what he's doing, don't you? If you can just use your imagination to see our Lord walking up to this platform, this bier that this man is lying on, and touching it, and saying, "Arise, young man, I say unto thee, arise," and he sets up. If you could just use your imagination to see that for just a moment, what you're seeing is the Father's business. Our Lord is doing the Father's business. He sure is. That's not the only time, by the way, in Luke's gospel that we read something like that. That is, we see it again in the next chapter, in chapter number 8. In Luke chapter number 8, the Bible tells us, beginning in verse number 41, it says, "And behold, there was a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue." This is in Capernaum, and our Lord is there, and the great crowds of people that are following him around, been doing miracles, ladies and gentlemen. There's a man who's a leader in the synagogue, and his name is Jairus. And the Bible says he came and he fell down at Jesus' feet, and he besought or begged him that he would come to his house. He wanted him to come to, he's begging him to come to his house. Here's why. Verse number 42, for he had only one daughter. Now we just met a woman who had one son. Now we need to meet a man who has one daughter. She's about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. She was sick, and she was near death when her father left her. He went to find Jesus, begging him to come to his house. And as he went, the people thronged him. That is, great crowds of people that are surrounding our Lord as he traveled along, trying to get to this man's house. And we know that while he was traveling, there was a woman who had had an issue of blood, been bleeding for 12 years. That is, a 12-year-old girl who's dying, and now we have a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years, and she spent everything she had on doctors, and nobody could help her, nobody could heal her, and she just came behind him and touched the hem of his garment, the border of his garment, immediately, ladies and gentlemen. She was immediately healed. Jesus turned around. He said, "Who touched me?" And everybody denied it. Nobody said that they touched him. Peter tried to straighten him out, as he always does, and said, "Well, Master, this multitude is all around you, pressing upon you everywhere. People are everywhere. Why are you saying, 'Who touched me?'" I mean, there's probably dozens of people who have bumped into him or touched him. And Jesus said, "Somebody touched me. I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." This woman touched him, ladies and gentlemen, with a touch of faith. The Bible says when the woman saw that she wasn't hid, she tried to hide herself, but when she saw that she wasn't hidden, she came trembling. She fell down before him. She declared unto him before all the people what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Healed. And Jesus said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So go in peace." The story continues in verse 49, which is what I'm trying to get to. While he was yet speaking, ladies and gentlemen, while he yet spake, therefore, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house. And here's what he said. There's probably a servant from his house. And he said, "Thy daughter is dead. She died. Trouble not the master." There's no need of Jesus coming to the house now. That is, she is well past healing. She didn't make it. Now I'm a dad. I've just got one daughter. If I was in his shoes, I would be devastated right now. And I would assume that he is. If I was with a family and that news came, "Your daughter, your only daughter, sir, has just died," I would be weeping with them. But notice what our Lord did. The Bible says when Jesus heard it, he answered. And he said, fear not. Don't be afraid. Sir, don't be afraid. You see the man trembling? Use your imagination. Can you see him breaking? Can you see him falling to the ground? But Jesus said, don't be afraid. And he said, just believe only, and she shall be made whole. If you'll just trust me, if you'll just believe, then I can, not only can I heal the sick, but he's saying that I can raise the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what his point is, and that is, that's why he came. The Bible says in verse 51, it's interesting that when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, didn't allow anybody to go into the house except for Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden, that is, of the 12-year-old girl. And the Bible says it all wept. That is, everybody who was gathered around the house are weeping and bewailing her. And he said, weep not. One of the other gospel writers indicates that they even already had some professional mourners already there. And he said, weep not, don't be weeping. She's not dead, but she sleepeth. And that is, she's just going to be a little while, she'll wake up. But the Bible says here they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And I'm glad it says that, aren't you? Because these folks knew what dead was. In other words, our Lord, when he said she's just sleeping, didn't mean that she had just went to sleep and he was going to wake her up, but she was really dead. He used the idea of sleep so that we would know and so that everybody would know that he's planning on waking her up from death and not from a nap. So the Bible says he put them all out. He told them to leave, to get out of the way, and he took her by the hand. Everybody's left, and it's him, ladies and gentlemen. And he took her by the hand, and again, he just spoke. Remember now what we saw in the city of Nain. All he did was say, young man, arise. And the Bible says that death had to flee and he rose up. And now he's doing the same thing. He's saying, maid or young lady, arise. And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway or immediately. And he commanded to give her meat. That's the reason why I thought maybe when that other boy woke up, when the Lord raised him from the dead, I said to you, I thought maybe I'd ask for something to eat. The reason why is because when this girl got raised from the dead, first thing our Lord said, give her something to eat. Give her some meat. And her parents were astonished, and you can imagine they were. And he charged them that they should tell no man, don't tell anybody what was done. And I'm sure they didn't tell anybody, aren't you? Just everybody. She's risen from the dead. I'm trying to get you to see, ladies and gentlemen, our Lord doing the Father's business. Oh, listen, when he gathered in that little room in that little house where that lady was at, where that girl was at, and he spoke to her and said, maid, arise, and she rose from the dead, you're seeing him doing the Father's business. That is the business of resurrection. Oh, there's the resurrection of this son. And that is, there's a woman who has a son, her only son, Jesus raising from the dead. And now we find a father that has his only daughter, and Jesus raised her from the dead. And then there's the sisters that have an only brother. And Jesus raises him from the dead. You remember the story in John 11? Let's turn over there for just a moment. And it's the writer John is the only one who tells us about this resurrection. And so let's take a look at it. It's a unique story. And ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed the highlight of our Lord's ministry of resurrection, raising the dead. In Luke chapter number 11, Jesus is raising from the dead this man named Lazarus. He had gotten sick, just to paraphrase the story for a few moments, but he had gotten sick. We don't know for sure what his sickness was, but whatever it was getting worse. And finally, the sisters, Mary and Martha, decided that he needed some help. And they knew that our Lord could help them. They knew the Lord. The Lord had stayed there in the city of Bethany, right outside of Jerusalem on many occasions. And they knew the Lord. The Lord loved them. And also, he loved them. And we have a record in the New Testament of his interaction with this family. And about the way that they served him and loved him, and indeed they did. And Lazarus is sick and it's getting worse, and they sent word to our Lord. They knew that immediately Jesus would come and he would heal Lazarus. But ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus got the word that Lazarus was sick, he didn't come. As a matter of fact, he delayed his arrival in the area of Judea until he knew for sure that Lazarus was dead. As a matter of fact, he told his disciples in verse number 11 of this chapter, he said, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." It's time to go to the town of Bethany because now Lazarus is asleep. Now the disciples assumed that he meant that he was asleep. And so they said, well, if he's sleeping well, that is, if he's sleeping, he must be feeling better. He must be doing better if he's finally able to rest. Now, I know when you get sick, you rest, but the reason why is because you've got medicine to take. But I tell you that in this day, before there was a lot of medication and available, a lot of people were miserable in their sickness, and rest was hard to find. When they finally were resting, it's a sure sign that they are starting to feel better. Surely he's feeling better by now, but Jesus wasn't talking about resting and sleep. The Bible says in verse number 13, he was speaking of death. Lazarus had died. But again, Jesus uses the word sleep because he knows that he's going to wake him up. He's going to bring him back to life. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you that death is to our Lord like sleep is to us. That's it. All you have to do is just speak, and you can wake somebody up out of sleep. Just say something. Just walk into the room and say something. And you don't have to say anything sometimes. You're going to think I'm crazy. I may be. Man, I woke up Saturday morning. And I heard my wife calling my name. Jeff. And I jumped out of bed. I grabbed a shirt nearby. She sounded like something was really wrong. I put on some slippers beside me. I'm about half asleep still, trying to figure out even what world I'm in. And I'm hurrying as fast as I can because I know that she's in trouble. It sounded so real to me. And finally, when I got out of the bedroom, she's already up. She's sitting on the couch sipping on some coffee. And she didn't say it at all. Or at least that's what she said. And that is, if Frank and I were talking about it, and it sort of came to the conclusion that she might have come to the bedroom door and said, "Jeff," and then ran back in there and sat on the couch. But that's all it took to wake me up. All she had to do, whether in reality or whether it was one of those dreams that seemed real, I don't know which it was, but nevertheless, all she had to do was say my name. And I was awake. Now listen, this lady down here, when she says my name, I kind of perk up anyway. But I woke up. I was telling Teresa that it reminded me of an incident that I had when I was staying with my mother. And that is, when my mother had cancer, was dying of cancer, I would go and I would stay with her. My sister stayed with her most of the time, and then I would go up and where she lived in Illinois, and then I would stay with her as much as I could. And my sister would go home, and I would stay with her. And I remember one night, I was sleeping in a little bedroom right off of the living room, and she was sleeping in there on the couch. And I left my door open, I remember laying in the bed asleep, and all of a sudden I heard my name, and it was her. So I got up. Now, I was asleep, and I got up, and kind of like that, I had to kind of get myself straightened out and figure out where in the world I was at in this world. She was hollering my name. Just my name is all she said. And the reason why she was is because right near the little room where I was staying was the bathroom where she had gone, and she had fallen in the floor. She was weak and couldn't get up. And so I had to help her get up. She called my name. Listen, there are two women in this world that when they call my name, I've learned to pay attention to them. Now, one of them was my mama. She taught me that early in life. And the other one is my wife, and she's been teaching me that for a lot of years. And she's still trying to. But oh, listen to me now. Sleep to us is like death to him. Listen, all my mama had to do and all my wife had to do is just say my name. Now listen, if you ever find me asleep and you want to wake me up, just do that. Okay? Just say my name real loud, real serious, and I'll wake up. Well, that's what our Lord did. You see, all he has to do is just speak. Young man, arise. And he wakes up. Maid or young lady, arise. And she gets up. You see, death to our Lord is like sleep to us. And here's what he said, Lazarus, our friend, you know what he's doing? He's sleeping. Now, he's really dead, ladies and gentlemen. And when Jesus arrives in the city of Bethany, he's been dead now for 4 days. That is, he's been lying in the grave, and that is, in a tomb with a stone rolled over the front of it, and he's been there for a while. That is, when you read the other resurrection stories, you read about a young 12-year-old girl that we read about earlier. She had only been dead for just a few minutes when Jesus raised her from the dead. And when you read about that widow of Nain, her son dying, he'd been dead for a few hours and was on his way to a burial spot. But when you read about this man, he's been dead now for days, and he's been lying there in that tomb with the stone rolled over the top of it, and his body would have been decomposing by this time. And the Lord arrives on the scene, and Martha runs out to him, and then Mary, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And she's, what they're saying is, why didn't you come? Why did you let him die? Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yet I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living, the Son of God, which should come into the world. They went out to the graveside, and the Bible says when they got out there and Jesus saw them grieving and weeping and mourning, it says he was groaned in his spirit. Compassion filled him on the inside. Emotion overwhelmed him. And the Bible says that Jesus began to weep by the graveside of Lazarus. All the Jews said, look, I loved him. He must have really loved him. Why didn't he come early? He could have prevented him from dying. If he loved him so much, why didn't he come and he wouldn't have died? Maybe you've had a question like that in your heart, stuck in there every once in a while. You know, why didn't the Lord just show up and heal him? Why did he or she have to die? They got to the graveside, and Jesus told them, he said, why don't you take away the stone? Martha said, but Lord, he's stinking by now. He's been dead for 4 days. We don't want to do that. That is bad enough that he was sick all that time, and to see him lying there and getting sicker and sicker, and then seeing him laying there dead, and then the funeral and the burial. I mean, all that was bad enough. Why would you traumatize us more by removing that stone? And we'd have to witness the decomposing body on the inside. And Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you, said I not unto thee that thou wouldest believe that you'll see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he prayed. And he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And then, ladies and gentlemen, the word of life spoke. The very one who said to that young girl, made arise, and she rose. The very one who said to the widow's son lying there on that bier, young man, I say unto thee, arise, and he rose. All he has to do is just speak. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead, ladies and gentlemen, 4 days, not a few minutes like the girl. Not a few hours like the widow's son. But now, four days, the Bible says he that was dead came forth. He came out of that tomb, still bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face still had that napkin wrapped around it, wrapped around his face. And Jesus then commanded them, loose him and let him go. All he had to do was speak. Just say his name. And like a sleeping man, he's awake. Ladies and gentlemen, when you see Jesus there by the graveside of Lazarus, when you see him there speaking his name and Lazarus walking out of that tomb, what you are seeing is our Lord doing the Father's business. But that's not the end. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians that one of these days that Jesus is going to descend from heaven. The Bible says he's going to come, and when he comes the second time, when he comes again, when he descends from heaven, the Bible says that those who have died, those who've gone to sleep, they're going to be risen from the dead. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, and that says in verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Don't ignore this truth, and that is concerning them which are asleep. And that is that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That is, you're grieving over those who have died. Paul again uses the same kind of wording that our Lord does, and that is they've gone to sleep. And the Bible says that one of these days, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. When the Lord comes, he's going to bring them with him. That is, their soul, their spirit that's with him in heaven, he's going to bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or stand in the way of them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be a shout. There's going to be the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The Lord is going to come. And I don't know exactly what he's going to say. He's probably just going to say, arise. But I tell you that all of those who've died in the Lord are going to be resurrected from the dead. And those who are raised from the dead are going to be reunited with those believers who are alive, who are going to be immediately changed and caught up into the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I want you to picture that in your mind for just a moment. The Bible refers to the second coming of Christ and the resurrection of the dead. The Bible refers to that, ladies and gentlemen, as the blessed hope. Christ coming again, raising the dead and changing the believer and being caught up into the air to meet the Lord and to be forever with him, that's what we're looking forward to with eager expectation. That is this resurrection. Our Lord has destroyed death. The Bible says he has abolished or destroyed death and brought life and light, ladies and gentlemen, to light through the gospel. Jesus has done that. He has destroyed death, and he that has the power of death, that is the devil, according to Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15. He's come to raise the dead. And when he comes again, he's going to raise all of those who have believed. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, and then I'll stop. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the Bible says in verse number 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and he's become the first fruits of them that slept. That is, he's the first crop of them that have been sleeping. Those who've died are going to be, listen, one of these days, the Lord's going to come. All he has to do is speak. And just like those who wake up out of sleep, they're going to wake up from death. The Bible says in verse 21, for since by man, that is Adam, came death, by man, that is Jesus, came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he has put down all rule and all authority. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus is going to raise all of those who've died? Verse 51, listen to what it says. 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Not everybody's going to die, but we'll all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the trumpet will sound, the dead shall be raised, incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. And when that happens, that is, when this corruptible body is put on incorruption, when the Lord comes and changes us immediately, raises the dead and changes us so that we have an incorruptible body, when this mortal body has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, when the Bible says here that death is swallowed up in victory, it means that it is no more. You know how that is, don't you? You swallow every once in a while. It might be that sometime today, earlier today, it might be that you went and got something to eat. You might have went home, or you might went to a restaurant and you put some food in your mouth and you chewed it around for a little while until finally you swallowed it. And when you swallowed it, it was gone. Hey, listen to me now. One of these days, our Lord is going to completely destroy death. It's going to be swallowed up in victory. The questions come, death, where is thy sting? The implication is the sting of death is gone. The reason why, ladies and gentlemen, is because the Bible says here that because the victory has come. Grave, where is your victory? The grave is no longer victorious. Oh, it feels that way now. It seems that way now, ladies and gentlemen. It seemed that way, that is, it seemed that way when that 12-year-old girl died. It seemed like the death had the victory until the Lord of life stepped on the scene and spoke. It seemed that way in the little town of Nain when that young man had died, and it seemed like death had gotten the victory until the Lord of life showed up and said, young man, arise. It seemed that way in the little town of Bethany, and that is after Lazarus had died. It seemed like the sickness and death had won the victory until the Lord Jesus showed up and said, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, listen to me now. Even it may seem that way to you for now, and that is, it might seem that way when you think about death and those who've died, when you think about the fact that one of these days you yourself will take your last breath if the Lord doesn't come and will die one of these days. It seems like the death has the victory. It seems like the death has the upper hand, but there's coming a day, and one day soon when the Lord is going to descend from heaven, and when he comes from heaven, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to come with a shout, and there's going to be the voice of the archangels and the trump of God, ladies and gentlemen, and the Bible tells us that when that day comes, that listen to me now, that the dead are going to rise. Death does not win the victory, and the reason why is because the Lord of life is coming. And he's just going to speak. And all the dead are going to rise. Now listen, that's going to happen just as sure as you're sitting where you're sitting. Not just a story. It's not some fake story that somebody just wants to try to use to manipulate you. One of these days, Jesus will come and the dead will rise. Those who are alive will be changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And when Jesus comes, raises the dead, changes the believers, and meets them in the air, you know what he's doing, don't you? That's the Father's business. He's come to do the Father's business. And that includes the business of resurrection. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And thank you for your word and what you're revealing to us and saying to us. I pray, Father, that you'd operate upon our hearts, that those who are here tonight that are lost have never been born again, Father, who don't know, no assurance, who know that if you came now, that they would be under judgment. I pray that you draw those persons to yourself, that you let them see their sin, their lostness, let them see the judgment that is to come. Father, I pray that you so operate that they would turn to you, receive you, believe the gospel. Would you do that work that only you can do? Father, we surrender ourselves to you this invitation time. Would you use it to draw people to yourself? Father, pray for those, Lord, that are struggling, that you'd help them to see the blessed hope. God, families that are going through times of grieving and mourning, even tonight, there are families that are grieving and mourning. I pray, God, you let them see the blessed hope that we have. Lord, thank you so much, Father, that you came and sent your Son and that he came to do your business. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.